Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Hey, you want to be able to evangelize the unsaved. You want to be able to see converts. God, give me one. And Lord, as they end up coming to you, I want to come alongside them. I want to confirm the souls of the saints.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Let me tell you a story that I heard and challenged about a few weeks ago that I think illustrates what I'd like to talk about today. It was mission work that in the Congo over 100 years ago was established. And over that 100-year period, lots of activities started to take root in that whole area. And so they had a big anniversary celebration, and they asked for the missionaries' families that were still able and willing to come to be able to come together. And they invited all of the cities and the communities and villages and that whole area of the Congo that had been influenced by this mission work. And so here you are 100 years later now, and all of these natives and all the tribes and all the missionaries and what families that were still around coming together to have a big fiesta and celebrate the ongoing gospel work in that area. Included in that was a missionary that had really been instrumental, his family invited to come, and all the work that had been done. And 100 years ago, God had burdened some men and women go to the area of the Congo. The gospel had not been there. So here you are now, a century later, all these people gathered together, and they had this huge fiesta and all this eating and celebration and singing and testimonies. And there was one of the men that was a little over 100 years old that also was there at this celebration. And he was the only one that had, at the very beginning of the work 100 years earlier, as a young child, had been there and remembered how that mission work got started. And he was, in his expression, one which you could tell he was so thrilled with all that take place, but there was something that was bothering him. So all of this celebration's happening and going on, and they were recounting what happened that brought the work now to where it is in the celebration. And they were rehearsing. Well, fact is, look at Acts 14. In similar fashion, Acts 14, it gives to us a mission mandate that you will find all through Scripture, particularly through the book of Acts. But it's condensed in Acts 14, verse 21 through 27 and 28. And there in verse 27, you see as they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And now he had opened the door of faith. Faith began going to all nations, as Romans 1 states. Now, let me lay this out for you, because just as it was the same template that was set, here you find in the Bible. And so, very simply, the early church had an unusual measure of growth. But I think the Bible gives the church a fourfold strategy for its missionary mandate, as it is throughout the world, and I believe it starts right here. And I want to walk through this very quickly with you. It's probably a review for some. The way that this happened right here, this is, I believe, the simple strategy that God laid out for how the gospel will reach countries. I'm going to go fairly simply, but it moves forward. It's right straight out of the text, verse 21, chapter 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. They had been at Derbe. Now they turned around and went back again through these towns right here. And what were they doing? They were confirming the souls of the disciples. They came back through. They were exhorting them to continue in the faith, that faith to all nations. And then they said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So then they ordained them elders in every church. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. Then they went on down through these other towns. They preached the word continually, that the grace would be of God for the work which they fulfilled. They did everything that God told them to do. Then he went back. Then he rehearsed everything that happened. Now, what is that saying to us? What is that context saying to us? I think it's saying this. Number one, notice, they evangelized the unsaved. That's what it says in verse 21. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. And so they're evangelizing the unsaved. Number two, in addition to that, it says in verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the saints. In other words, they were, as the strategy is, they were perfecting of those Christians. They were maturing them. They were confirming. Con mean with firmness. They were coming along and with God's word, firming up their beliefs. Understanding that, number three, in the end of verse 22, they were exhorting them to continue in the faith. The word exhort means to come alongside of. They were equipping them. And the strategy was to prepare them for service. You say, well, what happened during this preparation time? Remember Acts 13? They had a godly men, Acts 13, verse 2. They were godly men. They were godly in their exercise. They prayed. They fasted. And I don't want to miss this. And can I highlight this for a moment here? Thirdly, there was a godly support. Do you remember in Acts 13, 3? They said, and they sent them. Well, the fact is, the church in Antioch was supporting them. It's the same term as equipping them with support. Someone had to help them along the way to help them with their basic necessities of eating, transportation. And it's the same pattern you find in the New Testament. Because ultimately, here's what happens is when that takes place, and here's what happened to Paul, that you evangelize the unsaved, you edify the believer, you equip soldiers, and the result was a committed army of Christ. The result was a committed army of Christ. And over the next number of years, you find the gospel spreading in a greater and greater way. You end up finding that this particular area here is moved forward, and the result was the continued growth of Christians. You say, Pastor, that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You're right. Some of you, that was review. Question is, are you seeing that happen? Are you seeing that happen in your own life? You say, well, okay, that's great for church. I'm going to tell you something. It's the same it is for you as an individual. You know your responsibility? Be a lighthouse witness in your town, in your village, in your home, in your work, in your neighborhood. Hey, you want to be able to evangelize the unsaved. You want to be able to see converts. God, give me one. And Lord, as they end up coming to you, I want to come alongside them. I want to confirm the souls of the saint. And I want to end up as an individual being a soldier myself. I want to grow and mature. And ultimately then, our churches are established and more churches are established. And I don't want to miss the point. And with this, I'm going to close. Notice that here is stated in Acts 14, 22, and it was said that through much tribulation, they entered into the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? That phrase in verse 22, that through much tribulation they enter into the kingdom of God. Does that mean that through much tribulation that I'm going to go through purgatory to someday enter in the kingdom of God? Is that what that means? It has nothing to do with the context. What he's saying is that through much pressing, the term tribulation, I think I used that term a while ago, is like an oil press and you're being pressed down and what's coming out of that is the fruit of the Spirit. What's coming out of that is Christ-likeness. The tribulation that God allowed the church and individuals to go through, listen, it pressed them down so that the kingdom of God, not heaven he's talking about, but the influence of the gospel, the kingdom of God, that term is used, would go forth. Some of you, because you're Christians, are going through pressures. Your family, your work, people that know you, they don't really want any, you know, like, what? You're a Christian? And worse yet, you're going to what? A Baptist church? Oh, my word. You got problems, man. It's like something's odd, weird, different. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to allow you to keep going through pressure. You want a godly family? It doesn't like just happen. You're going to go through pressure. Some of you want to end up starting to give financially to God? You're going to go through pressure. That is the pattern that you find. It was stated here and all through Scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say that. I say that because in the conclusion, notice, when through that tribulation, they were then able to rehearse all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith, and God's word expanded. Do you find that in Acts 16? And notice the term in Acts 16, 5. Look at your Bible. This is going into the second missionary journey, and so were the churches established in the faith, faith among all nations, and increased in number daily. The word was expanded, and God's people were excited, all in the context of the church. You say, Pastor, is that going to happen? Absolutely. It's going to happen. It's going to happen through your own life. I started with a simple illustration of the Congo. I'm going to tell you what ended up happening in that anniversary that day, because a missionary's daughter documented that that 100-year-old man that ended up being at that big anniversary asked, can I say something? A very feeble old man that stood up in that pulpit at that established work, and he said, I have something to say that I have not said to anyone. I have a secret. He said, I'm old and I'm dying and I don't have many days left. And I'm the only one that knows the story, and it's true. And I don't want to go to the grave with this. He said, I was a young boy when these missionaries first came to our area. And he said, our tribe's people had no idea what they were talking about. They had never heard about this Jesus Christ. They never heard about the cross. They never heard about God's love for us. He proved it so much that he gave his life on a cross. And these missionaries were saying these things. We'd not heard them before. I was a little boy and I heard the tribes people, our tribesmen say, we need to find out whether this is true or not. And so, the only way we know to find out whether this is true, the tribesmen got together and they poisoned the food supply. And he said, slowly, one by one, not all, but many of those missionaries' children began dying a slow, agonizing, painful death. And he said, we stood by silently and watched. We watched the missionaries. Because he said, we knew that it was when these missionaries watched their children die that we wanted to see how they would live as Christians. He said, we watched these missionaries. They didn't get angry. They didn't get bitter. They didn't leave. And he said, out of those deaths, we really knew how to live as a Christian. And he said, out of that pain was what came today, what you see. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Some of you have gone through your own set of tribulations and difficulties. And I don't know what those are. Maybe for some of you, only God knows. But don't take a position that I'm a martyr, or that, well, people really don't know and understand. Because could it just be that God is allowing you to show the love of Christ by your own tribulations, your own agonizing death? Could it be that someone be so cruel and unusual to do something like that just to see whether you really believe what you believe? Absolutely. It happened in the early church, my friend. We read about it and it just kind of, well, yeah, that's the Bible. I don't know what pressures you go through, but I'm going to tell you, those are the times that ultimately God is going to bring great things. You be patient. You pray, God, please give me the power and the strength, the grace. Because this process that takes place, my friend, that is the process that God says, I'm going to bless. I'll bless it if you're willing to be patient in that tribulation.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.